Welcome in, everybody. Rusty Mansell to another edition, Tuesday night, Dog Talk Live, presented by Hotel Indigo in Athens. Thank you for everybody checking in. See people already. Calhoun, my guy Jeff, lives right up the street from me. Let's get into it, man. Again, presenting sponsor there is I'm in. Am I back in here? Am I live again? Sorry. I had to check back in there. In here with back again. We're good. Okay. So everybody checking in there. Rusty Mansell here for Dog Talk Live tonight. Presented by Hotel Indigo. Let me say this, guys, about Hotel Indigo. I say it every week now. It's our presenting sponsor. Just go by there once. Go by there once, and if you go by there one time for me, go in, check it out. You're gonna see it. Let's see if we got some technical difficulties here. I think I'm live here. Let's check and see. All right, we're good. Just got my producer checked in. All right, we're good, guys. All right, Hotel Indigo in Athens. I want to say this about Hotel Indigo before we start. Everybody's asking me, do we have Alabama tickets? Where's Alabama tickets? Got hotel rooms. Hotel Indigo, as of tonight at 8 o'clock now, while we're taping this live, Hotel Indigo, they have hotel tonight. They have two tickets to the Alabama game, and they have dinner reservations both nights, okay? Reach out to Hotel Indigo, indigoathens.com. Reach out to those guys. Ask if they still have any of the packets tonight. Listen, don't get mad at me if we don't have those packages, because I know when we got on here a few minutes earlier that those packages were still available. You can email jakerowe@gmail.com, jakemrowe@gmail.com. And if you need to, he'll get you over. But listen, Hotel Indigo in Athens, Alabama tickets, two nights, hotel Friday and Saturday, dinner reservations both nights right there at their own site restaurant. We're going to be there Friday night, Dogs HQ, Jake Rowe and myself. We'll be there hanging out Friday night. We're going to talk Georgia, not going to be on live anywhere. We're going to be in person having a show for Hotel Indigo in Athens. It's a great place, guys. It's awesome. I promise you, go one time, even if it's not a Georgia game weekend, you're in town, student, parent weekend, weddings, whatever, business, go by Hotel Indigo. You go by once. I promise you, it's a wrap. So let's dig into this tonight, guys. Please, the questions of the night, all right? Please check in. Let me know where you're checking in from. And always thank you for that. Question of tonight, was this weekend your favorite Tennessee win of all time? Now, we talk about this. Let's talk about a few options here. Let's talk about the 1980 Herschel Walker game. Obviously, for older people, that's a huge game. You started talking about a drought ender in 2000 when Georgia hadn't beat Tennessee in, 8 or 9 years. And they beat Tennessee and stormed the field in Athens. Hobnail boot. What about that? Hobnail boot game. That's always the great call from Larry Munson. The comeback, the way that ended. And then you go to Saturday. You're all but knocked out. And you find a way to win that game. You're down 21-7. You're down 38-30 facing 4th and 6. So you look at that, man, and that's a great conversation. So think about it. Was that the biggest win? Was that your favorite win ever over Tennessee? Some great options there. So some big-time games. I always have a story, so I'm going to give you a quick story, and we'll get into the Tennessee game. Quick story of the night. And one of my favorite players, a guy that I've met, guy I've done some stuff with after football, and is a guy that I think is going to be very successful in the business world. He already is. But I went back to, I think it was 2013. I think it was January of 2013. Alvin Kamara makes his decision on National Signing Day. Ironically, Alvin Kamara commits to Kirby Smart at Alabama. Kirby Smart recruits him, and he gets him to commit out of Norcross High School to Alabama over Georgia. That was on National Signing Day, early February. there's a coaching clinic a couple days later in Atlanta. And I walk in and I see Brian McClendon, who at the time was a running back coach at Georgia, and he was recruiting Alvin Kamara. And he went, you know, he was all in there. I talked to him a little bit on the side. I said, hey, man, that was a tough one, man. And he said, yeah, I really wanted him. But he said, man, we're going to be good. And I said, what's going on? He goes, I've got Sony Michel. I said, what? He goes, he's a silent. He'll be public here in a couple of months, but we're going to get Sony Michel. We're okay. And sure enough, man, about 2 months later, right there on ESPN on like an afternoon, Sony Michel commits to Georgia in the next class. So I thought about that today while I was driving home. I drove by that place where that hotel where that coaching clinic was, and I thought, you know what? That's a great one to tell the story to right there. So there's your quick story of the night always. Thank you guys for checking in. Let me know. Someone checked in from Savannah a while ago, and someone said their daughter moved. I was in Savannah last night, and I spoke at the quarterback club. And, man, you're talking about an unbelievable club. 1946 that thing was started. And got a chance to speak down there last night. Got in town. Great dinner. Great location. Great crowd. But I want to thank the people of Savannah, man. That was awesome. I was in there and out, man. Savannah is blowing up. It is exploding with growth. So enjoyed my time down there. Some of you guys are probably watching tonight or will watch this. So thank you for having me. Guys, let's get into this Tennessee game, man. I was there. I was sitting beside Jake Rowe. You know, and there's some Georgia guys sitting there with us. And, man, it was a lot. You just looked the way Georgia started. I think let's talk about the way that game started, and Tennessee comes right down the field and the scripted plays, and they they get into Georgia pretty easily. The first thing I noticed was a lot of crossing routes, and Georgia was having a lot of problems with that. And I thought, okay, you know, Tennessee's always started fast against Georgia. Josh Heupel has started fast against Georgia, and that's kind of been the way it is. And Georgia really takes control of the game, and it's hasn't been close. Well, Georgia gets the ball, and the first play of the game, which was kind of a preview of what was going to happen. Gunnar Stockton, he stops back and he lets one go, and Kobe Young goes and gets it, and it's on the money. Georgia scripted offense; they're right down the field, right down the field. I love Gunnar Stockton in the run game right there. I said that last week that they were going to use him in the run game. I know they put the brakes on him after he took that shot in the first drive of Austin Peay. They took the run game out last week against Austin Peay, but they did it, man, with him. Tennessee gets the ball back, and really the next two drives, it's just the same thing. It's really easy. You know what I mean? They just carved Georgia up. Let's get to 21-7, and I'm looking at Jake, and I'm like, is Kirby going to go for this? Because I don't. This is to me like. I don't know that he thinks he can stop them at that point. And they run a slant with Zach Branch, and he beats Boo Carter, their best DB. He beats him one-on-one. What do I say all the time? Sometimes you just got to out-athlete people. And I'm telling you, man, Zachariah Branch in that slot, if you see that play, when you go back and watch, go watch the 4th-and-7 down 21-7. They run London Humphreys in motion away, or Dylan Bell in motion. And he sees it's man-to-man, and he looks at Zach Branch, and he knows what he's got right there. He beats him to the inside, and he's a great throw. That was a freaking huge play, man, because Georgia would lose. I don't know they win that game if they don't make that play. They all start adding up, but that was a huge play early on. And I'll say this about Gunner, man. It was on the money, but the ability for Zach Branch to beat his guy, especially inside leverage, he beat him inside for that slant. He was open. So, the thing just kind of snowballed there. Georgia goes back. They take the lead. And you look at all these guys and some of the plays they made. But we got to talk about Gunnar Stockton. And, you know, for all the talk about Gunnar Stockton, I said the same thing. I believe in Gunnar. I know he can throw it, but he's got to do it on a Saturday. He's got to do it when it matters. And not only did he do it when it mattered, he did it when they were behind several times. Several times they were behind Saturday. But when you're down 14 that quick in a place like that, you could tell how loud it was in there. It was nuts, man. Gunner was 23 of 32. He averaged 9.5 yards per completion. Obviously had a couple of throws there. Kirby said it today in his press conference. Gunner has the respect of his teammates. He doesn't point fingers. He doesn't holler at people. He just plays football, and he's a leader by example. But he's got some vocal to him. But those guys know. And you see KJ Bolden talk. Look at that play right there, man. I mean, he was giving it all. I believe that was the first touchdown of the game. I believe that was that, or it might have been one of the first downs he ran. But that kid played his ass off, man. And there's no better respect from a locker room than to watch your guy stand in there. And he took two shots in that game. I don't know how he took two shots, or he got squared up and delivered those balls. And, you know, you got to have that out of your guy. And that's what Georgia believed in. That's what Georgia thought for him. And, you know, he just kept fighting back and making plays when he needed to. Are there things he needs to work on? Yes, there's things he needs to work on. Obviously, it's the third game of the year. But you take your first SEC road game you've ever started, and you walk into a damn environment like that. That place was unhinged, folks. I'm telling you, it was nuts in there, how loud that place was. And to have that's invaluable. Let's go to some of the things I like. Okay. Colby Young, 4 catches. Zachariah Branch, 5 catches. Dylan Bell, 4 catches. Lawson Lucky, 3 catches. Spreading that thing around, man. And, you know, obviously Branch to me is the guy that gives them, I think the sudden, I said it last week. Yeah. Hit 21 miles an hour. If I'm playing Georgia, number one's the one that scares me. He's the one I got to know what's going on. He's the one that if you miss one tackle, it can cost you 6 points. Okay. And Georgia hadn't had that in a while. Colby Young caught a ball, guy hanging on him. London Humphreys, holy smokes, man. London Humphreys is a Tennessee kid. He's from the Nashville area. I know he knows that's a big play, but for the rest of his life, his grandkids will see that play. Every Georgia fan for the rest of their life will remember that play, but specifically for London Humphrey, that was his moment. Doesn't mean it's going to be his only moment. And he caught a hell of a ball earlier in the day, but to track that ball the way he did and to track it over his shoulder, man, that's not easy. It was a hell of a throw by Gunner Stockton. That was the only place on the whole field. The game is on the line, guys. The game is on the line right there. And Gunner Stockton dropped the damn thing in a bucket, but it's not easy to be running as fast as you can. What did Georgia struggle with last year? Drops. Drops. Guys, they're making plays. They're helping their quarterback. We got natural ball catchers. You know, and listen, you can talk about James Coley. James Coley was a hell of a wide receiver coach last year, I promise you. But sometimes you just got to have freaking dudes, man, that can make a play. And you got to be able to, I say it every week, you got to be able to out-athlete people. So offensively, Mike Bobo, 502 yards offense, 44 points on the road. Okay, 38 minutes of possession for Georgia. And you know, I don't know what else to say. Sometimes that's a trigger target and all that. I don't give a damn. You know what I mean? That dude put 44 points up. There were a couple of series there where I think they need to be more aggressive. Okay, yes, I think Kirby said it after the game. A couple of series there, we need to fix some things, okay? But you got 44 points on the road in the SEC in Knoxville. And you won. So you just got to tip your cap. 38 minutes of possession. Unbelievable physicality there. Let's go to the defense. Everybody wants to talk about the defense. I'm going to get to all your questions here. Thank y'all for stopping in too, man. A lot of people saying 2022. Yeah, that was a hell of a game, man. I was there too. And Stetson, you know, that ball he threw to Lab McConkey early in the game, that was a hell of a play. Defense, you know, they gave up 41 points. And you look at Tennessee, the time of average time of possession on each scoring drive was a minute 50. And I told the members of Dogs HQ this week, I said, guys, if I told you they were going to score 41 points and they were going to average a minute 50, I would have bet anybody I could have borrowed money from anywhere, I would have bet on Tennessee on the money line. There's no question. That is exactly how they beat you. That's exactly how they beat you. You know what? They didn't. And you know, I hear people say, well, if he'd made that kick, guys, making a kick's part of football. Okay. Throwing a ball that Gunnar Stockton, if Gunnar Stockton throws that ball 6 inches to the right, the game's over. He didn't. He made a perfect throw. This kid missed a kick when he needed to, and that's part of football. So I don't buy into that. I mean, I get the narrative. Hell yeah, Tennessee played a great freaking football game and very well could have maybe deserved to win that game. They didn't. They didn't complete the last part to knock a team out. When you're going to beat a team like Georgia, you got to knock them out. They didn't knock them out. They had them on the mat. They let them get up, and they got beat. So that's my rant there on that. Defensively, you got to make plays, man, on the back end. You're going to get bombed up. You see that play there. And Daniel Harris, if you were to see Daniel Harris. Now, Chris Brazel there is 6'5", too, 6'4 and a half. And that's a grown man there. But you see that play by Daniel Harris there. And one thing, Jake Rowe, who's my guy, and you guys know him. Jake said, made a comment to me like that ball's in the air a long freaking time from Joey Aguilar. I mean, he throws a moon ball, and it is hard, okay? It is hard to sit there, and you're running full speed, and it feels like that ball's in the air, 10 minutes. You got to make plays, man. That's the one right there. To me, Georgia had Tennessee on the ropes. That play right there in particular let them right back in the game because they just bombed one. They threw it up for grabs, and the kid made a play, but Daniel Harris, 6'2 and a half. He's a big dude, man. Look how long he is. You got to knock that one down. You got to make that play there. And I'm sure they're going to – listen, we're going to talk about Alabama in a minute, but we're not done with here. K.J. Bolden, huge turnover there. A lot of momentum. When Georgia needed it, they got the stops they needed, especially in overtime. You know what I mean? That possession there in overtime when they held them to a field goal. In fact, they almost had an interception on the very first play, that tip ball. Second ball, Aguilar was under pressure. He just threw it away. You can learn from that. And the one thing I'm confident in, this is not the best Georgia defense. I'm telling you it's not. I'll tell you that. But I promise you right now, they're going to get better. They're going to get better. They've got too many good athletes on that side of the ball. They got too many great defensive coaches in that room. That's a great freaking teaching point. And, it was the first game on the road. How about that? My man right there, Northern Dog from Milford, Michigan. Northern Dog, tell me what the temperature is, man. Tell me what the temperature is up there. And we're going to get to questions in just a minute. And thank you for everybody checking in there, too. But, again, I think if Daniel Harris makes that play, I think they had Tennessee on the ropes a little bit there, had the momentum, and they just bombed one and got it. So you got to make those plays. But, look, again, you go out, special teams, Georgia punting. They didn't let Boo Carter. I don't think he had a return yard. Brett Thorson freaking hammered it again. Peyton Woodring, just damn clean as can be when you need it. And I like Peyton Woodring. My man got a new mustache. And, 1990 Rusty appreciates a good mustache. So I think Peyton Woodring is he's rocking it, man. I like it. So we're going to close the books on Tennessee. I don't know what else to say other than Georgia. Look, man, that's who Georgia is right now. That they just find a way. If you're old enough to remember the games in the 90s and sometimes the early 2000s, Georgia was on the other side of that so many times. I can't tell you how many times I left the Georgia game with guys going, dude, if we'd have got that one stop, if we'd have got that tip ball, and if he'd have caught that pass over the middle, it was ball game. And Georgia's now that team that you better check those boxes. Me and Jake have a really good friend. I'm not going to call him out because I love him, but one of our coworkers in Nashville, he's a Tennessee guy. And he texted us Sunday morning, and he said, Georgia needed four things to win that game, and all four things happened. You know what? Georgia made those things happen. You know what I mean? So they created that. And, I want to say, again, guys, with Hotel Indigo, Alabama, next week, coming to town, they have packages. Hotel Indigo in Athens, they have packages. They have two nights hotel. They have packages as of tonight. So if you call tomorrow and they're gone, I'm sorry. But tonight, I know I talked to one of the owners before I got on here, and they had a couple of those packages left. Two nights hotel, two tickets to the game. I believe they're lower level. Don't shoot me if they're not. I'm sure they're good tickets. And dinner reservations for both nights, Friday and Saturday. Reach out to those guys at hotelindigo.com. and ask for those. They also have packages for Ole Miss, Texas, and all that. But I know everybody's focus is right now that Alabama weekend, and they do, as we are taping this, or we're on live right now, you're going to see that they still have some of those. It won't last long. So I'm telling you, jump on that hotel, and you're not going to regret that one. So hotelindigo.com, appreciate you guys being our presenting sponsor. I know those guys, some of those guys are watching from dinner down in Florida tonight, and we appreciate them joining in. We can't wait to be there. The night, Friday night, Jake Rowe, myself, we're going to be there Friday night. It's not going to be live. We're going to be with you. We're going to tell stories. We're going to talk about the Alabama game. We're going to break it down, but we're going to be right there on the patio. Have a great time. We're closing out, man. We're going to close out Tennessee. Hell of a win. I'm going to take some questions, and then the last segment, I'm going to talk about Alabama, okay? But I want to take some questions from you guys over here in the comments, reaching down. A good team, Mike Brown says, a good team makes their breaks in a game. They do. They do. They make you earn them. And I'm telling you, man, that's where Georgia can do it. CJ says he was in the building Saturday, the loudest environment I've ever experienced. Insanity. I'm telling you, we were in the press box upstairs, and I could tell, like, man, this thing is unhinged right now. Then when you see the strip sack of the strip sack, get the ball, that place was crazy. So second straight trip to Tennessee with no false starts. That's preparation, man. Those guys are blasting that thing. They'll be blasting that music in preparation for those games with Kirby. Evil UGA Dynasty, do you think Juan will be healthy enough to play right tackle versus Alabama so Glover can play right guard? Jake and I talked about this right before we went on. I'm very interested in what they do at right tackle. Very interested. Juan Gaston is a guy that's, you know, how healthy is he? Because you're talking about a 6'7" and a half, 360-pound guy. Now, if you're asking me the third week of August, can he play right tackle? I'm telling you right now, he can play right tackle. I'm telling you right now, without hesitation, that guy could play right tackle. He's been injured. This is a different animal that's coming to town with Alabama. So you've got to be, if you're going to put a kid on an island out there, he's got to be healthy enough that you feel he gives you the best opportunity. I'm not riding Juan Gaston off at right tackle. I know Ernest Green's banged up, and I don't know how healthy he's going to be all year. He's dealing with a lower back injury and those types of things. Dontrell Glover has been the surprise so far of the team to me. And, you know, this kid started as a true freshman at Tennessee, and Kirby called out Langston Hughes' staff in a good way, talking about how well coached he was in high school. And I agree. You know what I mean? I agree there. So, you know, Jermaine King said he's Juan Gaston's size. You're a big dude, Jermaine. That's a lot of weight. I don't know that it's all ankle. Might be a, you know, combination knee there. I think he's got a chance there. But again, they're with Alabama coming to town, I don't think they're going to take any chances. It's going to be a no-brainer, or we're going to have to put it off for a game. Shannon Sispey, I think, there says let Bo Hughley play until he can't. Bo Hughley came in and saved the day, guys. And I'm telling you right now, they were in trouble. In fact, I made the comment in the press box. I said, Georgia's playing with 10 right now. And, you know, with Michael Ooney, he's a guard, okay? He got thrust into playing right tackle. He had to do what he had to do, and he struggled, okay? This guy's he just struggled. It is what it is. You saw the game. You saw on TV, he struggled. Bo Hughley comes in, and they needed him. Like, he had to play that fourth quarter, and he did great. This guy's the best part of Bo Hughley, this guy's a dancing bear now. I mean – I don't know that he's the most physical kid in a run game yet, but you want to talk about somebody that can be in front of you and what they call mirror you in a 6'6 frame. He did a good job there. You know, he's got every opportunity now over the next 2 weeks. He's in a really good spot. You saw how emotional he was. You know, he got benched. I mean, they put Ooney out there over him, and to start this week, he came in and he saved. He had a hell of a role there, and you saw how emotional he was after the game with tears in his eyes. And I think a lot of that was he knew that was a big moment for him, and he helped his team, and they can count on him. You know, Ernest Green, guys, listen, this guy can play, man. And I just know he's fighting through an injury. I don't know if he'll ever be back 100%. I don't know all the stuff about it. You know what I mean? But I know when Ernest Green's right, he gives you a great thing at right tackle. But right now, he's just not there, man. And when I saw him pull around, when they ran Gunner on, I think it was third and four, I think, and they go quarterback power, and he got thrown out of the club, basically, is what the term they use. You get thrown out of the club by a defensive lineman. He's not like that. And that just tells me right now he's kind of lacking power. And so I don't know. I don't know where he's going to be in 2 weeks. You know, and he's really struggled health-wise, and I hope he gets back there. But Georgia's going to have to explore all options at right tackle, and I think this is a very big 2 weeks. I'll put it on the board, but I'll say it to you guys now. They had a really physical practice today. I heard it was a really good practice. And, you know, it's a bloody Tuesday they got after on the bye week. Mike, I've had back surgery too, man. It is no joke. Best thing I ever did in my life, but it was a scary moment to have that. Next question, a couple of you guys asking about what's the answer opposite of Daylon Everett. Let's talk about Daylon Everett. Because 2 years ago, everybody was going after Daylon Everett. And he stepped up. He stepped up, and I think about midway through last year, you know, nobody would throw at Kamari Lassiter. They were throwing at Daylon Everett. Well, Daylon Everett, all those reps against him, he got better, and he's been great. He was a big piece of the puzzle coming back. He gives up a play or two. But Daylon Everett, man, you have to earn it when you go after on his side. They're going to throw at Daniel Harris, and Tennessee went after Ellis Robinson the minute he came in. The minute Ellis Robinson came in, they bombed on him, and he came back in. They went after him again. Now, he held his own a couple other plays. But those guys, somebody's got to step up there. Somebody's got to step up there. I think it's between those two. Obviously, I still do. And those are both two big-time athletes. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm not giving up on Ellis Robinson. I just know that Tennessee, like, this is a young kid. We're going to find out. And they did and got him on a play. And it happens. You have to have a short memory as a defensive back. But, you know, those guys can play, and somebody's going to step up, because I'm telling you, we'll talk about Bam in a minute, but they're going to throw. They're going to come at them. A lot of young players, around, seeing some guys make comments, and there's just a lot of guys that haven't played. I was looking at it, you know, you look in the fourth quarter, you got Bo Hughley, who's basically started one game. You got Dontrell Glover, who was a true freshman. You got Drew Bobo, who, by the way, had an unbelievable game. I think he was Outland National Lineman of the week, the National Lineman of the week. Michael Morris is a guy that's played a lot. Monroe Freeland added 92 or 93 snaps to give up a sack. Happens. But I think Monroe Freeland is quietly having that year that you need. And I think he's really coming on. I thought after Ole Miss last year, he had a great year, but he got hurt. You know, he tried to fight through that in a Notre Dame game, and, you know, hindsight, he probably didn't need to play, but he was fighting his ass off for his team, and he had surgery, you know, 2 days later, and he was out 6 months. So you're talking about a kid that's had to take 6 months off. So he's still got a lot left in him. So I expect let's just move on. Let's just move on. And guys, you can keep questions and I'll come in. Yeah, Elijah Griffin. I was in Savannah last night, and everybody's asking me about Elijah Griffin. I said, Elijah Griffin has done nothing to disappoint. I haven't seen Jacob do snap count, or Jake Roos does snap count and those types of things for Dogs HQ. Elijah Griffin's snap counts are going to keep going this way. They're going to keep going this way. He's going to cut into somebody's minutes. You're not going to see less of 90. I can assure you, you're going to see more of 90. And as the year goes on, man, he's gonna be that guy, and I don't think at this point in his career he's have any concerns. Yeah, thank you, Mike. You guys hit that like button, like and subscribe. Thank you. Thoughts on Kyron Jones and Oklahoma? So Kyron Jones played with a little open cast where he can move his hands. He had I looked at it. Glad you brought that. CJ Allen had 11 tackles. He was leading tackler last week. Kyron Jones had 10 tackles. I don't grade defensive backs, and that's obviously somebody else does that. But what I do watch is how quick you show in a run game. And Kyron Jones will come up and strike your ass. I don't know if I can say cuss, but sorry if I do. I can't. Kyron Jones will come up and strike you. Now, I don't know how great he is in the pass game and some of that stuff. And I haven't seen anything that would concern me so far. But as far as flashing and coming up, I love how he fills the alley. Jonel Aguero had a great game. When Georgia made some adjustments there after that third drive, they went to more zone. So when you see those guys flashing across, it wasn't somebody chasing them. They were waiting for you came in. And when you came into that area twice, Jonel Aguero, I mean, he absolutely got a hold of some guys, and that's what you want out of him. He's played great in pass coverage. He gave up a third down late in the game on a little out route that me and Jake were sitting there. So running backs, man, ran hard. You know, you look at Josh McCray and, you know, gave him some tough yards, man. I do think Peanut's going to be fine for Alabama. He gave some bursts. Nate Frazier, he went Nate Frazier had 5.2 yards per carry. And, you know, almost housed it. He almost walked it off. You know what I mean? And everybody talks about that Sony Michel Rose Bowl. I mean, he almost walked that thing off. And then McCray finished it off, you know, two plays later. So that's it. We could talk a lot about that. Pass rush, that's got to help. I mean, pass rush has got to – you got to start having some guys win some one-on-ones. Georgia did what they've done against Tennessee in the past, and Tennessee was ready. They would send those linebackers on what they call that cross dog, where they crisscross the backers and go right in there. And they were ready for it, man. Joey Aguilar got the ball out of his hands quickly, and, you know, they made kind of an adjustment, and it hurt Georgia. So where's Georgia now going to create? One thing I like to see, small play, but tuck it away. Tennessee was hurting Georgia on that tight end, basically drag route. They did it a couple of times, 87 wide open, just 8-10 yards at a time. They did it two or three times. Well, Georgia made an adjustment late in the game, and the guy ran the drag route, and Chris Cole stuck him, and he went right across the middle and batted it down. So I love that adjustment they made, and I still think Chris Cole is a guy that's different. I still think this guy is different. So, yeah, man, we got a Penn State fan in here. Man, I can't do Penn State after that freaking Sugar Bowl. I was old enough to remember that damn Todd Blacklett. So, you know, respect Penn State, but man, I can't do Penn State now. So, thank you for joining us, for being in. Let's move on to Alabama, guys, and we're this is a big one, and I've said this. I have not backed away from it. This is the biggest game of the year for me. It has been. Nothing's changed my mind. Kirby Smart's 1-6 against Alabama. They have lost in heartbreaking fashion. They've lost in ways that just not typical of Georgia. They're coming into Sanford Stadium. I expect the place to be absolutely electric. It's going to be bonkers. It might be one of the best environments ever in Sanford Stadium. And Georgia has not lost a home game since 2019. And I expect that crowd. I expect I expect the Georgia fans to be really good and hydrated as they walk in. Maybe dehydrated or hydrated, whichever one. That's going to be a long tailgate, and we're going to be around that day too. So we got some stuff with you, but I'm just telling you, Georgia's got to be Alabama, and they've got it. They've got to turn that a little bit, and they got to, you know, have a win here and there. Got to be competitive in that, and they've lost some heartbreakers. They've lost some games that, you know, some ways that against some really good talented teams. But Georgia's 1-6 against them, and that's a big game. And you look at Ty Simpson too. Now, Ty Simpson's a guy that is gaining some confidence. I don't think Ty Simpson's, you know, like a dual threat guy. He's not a statue, but he wants to beat you with his arm. He got two great wide receivers. He got a great offensive line that seems to be gaining some momentum, and, you know, had a tough start against Florida State, and really just they got after him. You know what I mean? For lack of a better term. And that's a couple weeks ago, but they're on a bye week. They're walking into Athens. I do think they're going to, they're going to try those corners. You know what I mean? But okay. It's Tuesday. Kirby Smart's going to speak again, I guess, next Monday. He'll do his regular game week. Promise you, Kirby Smart's going to challenge the crowd. That can be a huge deal. It can be a massive deal to affect that game. And I expect nothing less from the Georgia fan base I expect nothing less for that place to be crazy. And, let's finish up. Let's get about five more minutes, guys. I told you I would do 40, 45 minutes. Georgia, Tennessee's loudest I ever heard of stadium. That possibly could be the loudest I've ever heard Sanford Stadium. Yes, I've been in some ones that were, you know, but that probably was, you know, I think we're trying to add bleachers to the game. I don't know if they're adding bleachers. I know the tickets are going to be, it'll be hot commodity. Again, if you're looking for tickets and you're looking for a hotel and you're looking to have a place of dinner, Hotel Indigo in Athens, two nights, two tickets, and dinner both nights. So, you know, it's a no-brainer, man. Just go once. We want to see, you know, a lot of you guys will be in town. We've got several opportunities to see us, you know, in town that weekend. But we're going to start Friday night at Hotel Indigo. We're excited about it, man. That's mine and Jake's. You put mine and Jake, you put me and Jake in the barbershop out on the patio, and we can talk some football. We're going to spend some time with everybody. Look forward to that. Yeah, I think with Bama, you know, it'll be Ty Simpson's first big road game. I mean, obviously this will be prime time. The entire country will be watching Georgia and Alabama. It will have a huge rating. It will have everything you can imagine. Who's better on offense, Tennessee or Bama? Chris Martell asks, who is better on Tennessee or Bama offensively? It's kind of a different, you know, attack there. You know, Tennessee is so fast-paced. You know, I mean, it's tempo. Alabama is going to go tempo some too, but nothing like that. Alabama and Tennessee wants to run the ball too. They were just kind of unable to run the ball there for a little while. That brought some things late in the game. But, you know, Alabama a little bit more pro-style, I would say, attack. And so, listen, Georgia fans can really – communication issues, false starts, they can affect that game too. And I'm sure they will. So I don't think can we please make Bama punt once in the first quarter? Yeah, that was a rough start last year. And I think talking to some people in that building in the offseason against Jalen Milroe, I think they felt like they pressured too much because the year before an SEC championship game, they sat back in a zone and tried to spy him. And he kind of dinked and dunked and picked him apart. So they went almost completely opposite and came right at him and had some bust. And they go back, ironically, to how they played him the year before, and it worked. He was just, you know, a little bit late, but they called him and took the lead late, and they give up a bomb. And that was Julian Humphreys who missed that play on Ryan Williams. So they're going to bomb on you. They're going to throw deep balls, and I'm sure Georgia's preparing for that. And I heard Kirby Smart answer that question. He said, we do those drills every day. I'm sure they will get extra drills. You just got to make the play when it's there. These are big time athletes. You got to make the play. You make one or two of those plays and they'll quit wasting that play. But until you stop it, they're going to take a bomb. And Tennessee did it on that play to Braswell, and it worked late. So the game against Tennessee, I saw run 95 offensive plays. Thanks to highest total from UGA in a long time. Guys, again, Mike Bobo, was it a perfect game? No. The dude put 44 points on Tennessee in their stadium, on the road, 502 yards. If Georgia gets 502 yards and 44 points, they're not losing the game. I don't know if I don't know they'll lose a game. Now, you can't ask for that every game, but he did what he had to do. And the way they attacked him and made some plays, Gunner made some plays. And kids were catching the ball. You know, right before that last – play to London Humphreys, they have I think it's a 3rd-and-7, and they throw a little bubble to Dylan Bell, and they really have it covered. Dylan Bell puts his foot in the ground. He outruns the linebacker that is on angle, and he gets the first down. And then four plays later is when they throw the ball to London Humphreys. But little plays like that, don't forget those plays. That's an athlete making a play, and Georgia didn't have it last year. They just didn't have it. Everything was so manufactured. It was such a struggle at wide receiver. But they're just deep there, man. They got some young kids that can play. It's not over for the Talon Taylors and the C.J. Wileys and the Sakovi Whites. It's not over. We only played three games. Those guys at some point are going to make it. They're going to be involved at Georgia, I'm sure of it this year. Got some really, really good young guys. Let's do a few more questions here, and we'll Justin, I can't do a score prediction yet. I did predict Georgia to win this game early in the year. I did my yearly predictions. I did. I picked Georgia to win this game, and, you know, I still feel good, but, you know, this is a game you got to win. Man, they're 1-6. There's no way to sugarcoat that. But they're coming home, and I can assure you, you're going to be challenged. You will hear the challenge from Kirby to, and Georgia's fans have answered that bell many, many times. That Arkansas game, that noon game against Arkansas that year, they were, that place was crazy. I think Arkansas had like two false starts on the first drive, then they get a block punt, and it was on at that point. So give me two more minutes, guys. What we got? Ryan Williams in 17 anymore, so we should be fine. You know, he's been kind of inconsistent with that, but he was a guy that Georgia recruited heavily. Now, Georgia recruited him really, and he was over there a lot. It's hard to get a kid out of a state like that, but Georgia recruited him really hard, really hard. Guys, one last time right here, Hotel Indigo Atlanta, Hotel Indigo in Athens. Just go once. Go by. If you're in town, just swing by over there and do a walkthrough. Just go have a drink. Go have lunch, whatever. Go in the lobby. See the place. Huge parking lot. Huge parking lot across the street. So that's big. When you're old like me, where can I park? Where can I get in? Packages left as of before I went on this air tonight. They had packages left. Two nights hotel, two tickets to the Bama game, and two dinner reservations for both nights right there. You can just enjoy it. Walk right down that stadium and come walk right back out. So have a place to go. Guys, let's wrap this thing up. Thank you guys again. For joining. This is Dog Talk Live with Rusty Mansell. We'll be back next week. We got some more stuff on Dogs HQ the rest of the week. The guys will have another Georgia show. We'll have a Sunday night Georgia show. We'll have all kind of stuff. Dogs HQ Plus, not going anywhere. We're going to have all kind of coverage. We got some stuff coming up recruiting later this week, too, on Dogs HQ. You guys are going to like. We're going to have everything on the Alabama game coming up. We're going to blow out the coverage. We'll be there. But, again, thank you all for supporting this one. And I really, it means a lot to me. And again, thank you to Hotel Indigo for jumping all over it and wanting to be the presenting sponsor. But for tonight's show on Tuesday, that's going to wrap it up. Thank you guys. Go Dogs, and leave your comments. Let me know where you're from, and let me know if that was the biggest Georgia win ever over Tennessee.